Crusade of Kings. Oliver Cromwell, Part 2. Oliver Cromwell was made Lord Protector of the Commonwealth of England, Ireland, and Scotland on November the 16th, 1653. In accepting the high office, he bound himself by a certain paper called the Instrument to summon a parliament consisting of 400 or 500 members, in the election of which neither Catholics nor Royalists were to have any share. He also pledged himself that this parliament should not be dissolved without its own consent until it had sat for 5 months. As we continue our story, we find him bidding farewell to brave Admiral Blake, one of England's greatest sea dogs, who is about to set out with the English fleet to the Mediterranean Sea.
Blake, I have chosen you for this difficult task because I trust you more than any other man in England, and because of your bravery, courage, and unswerving loyalty.
Such praise from you, my lord, is praise indeed. You have but to command me to be obeyed.
Blake, I am a soldier and have no knowledge of sea fighting, so I will not presume to give orders to one of your undoubted ability and experience. I will merely explain what is to be done. How you do it is your affair. You are to proceed with a fleet to the Mediterranean and force the Duke of Tuscany to pay £60,000 for injuries he has done to British subjects and spoliation he has committed on British merchants.
Ah, it is good news I hear, my lord. The braggart of Tuscany has long boasted of his conquests over the British, whom he speaks of as curs who drop their tails and run in fear at his approach.
So I have heard, and my blood boils when I think that Englishmen, who were once feared abroad, have now become the butt of every white-livered foreigner who speaks of our men in terms of scorn and derision. They must be taught a lesson, and you are the man to do it, Blake. Get you to Tuscany. Humiliate him. Wipe the sneer from his lips. Place an iron heel upon his neck, and keep it there until he begs for mercy. Prove to him that the English are not curs, but bulldogs who'll fight to the bitter end for their rights.
And when I have punished Tuscany?
Go on to Algiers, Tunis, and Tripoli, and have every English ship and every Englishman delivered up to you that have been taken by pirates in those parts. We will let it be known thoroughly throughout the world that England is now governed by a man in earnest who will not allow the English name to be insulted, slighted, or discredited whilst he lives.
These were not all Cromwell's foreign triumphs. Later, he sent a fleet against the Dutch. They met in the English Channel, and after an all-day fight, the Dutch retired from the combat. Later, the two fleets engaged again off the coast of Holland. There, Van Tromp, the valiant Dutch admiral, was killed, and peace was made. Cromwell then decided to put an end to the domineering, bigoted conduct of Spain. He sent for the Spanish ambassador, and at the moment, we find them together.
A moment, Don Alfonso. Answer one question. Who created the heavens and the earth?
The Almighty God, my Lord Protector. But surely you did not send for me to test my knowledge of the catechism.
I would that your royal master, the King of Spain's knowledge, was as good as yours, my friend. But he seems to forget that 'twas God and not he who created the land and the sea.
My lord speaks in riddles.
And I shall speak plain English words which I bid you to remember and to repeat to your master. Tell him that Cromwell is tired of his insolence and his arrogance and refuses to countenance the intolerable conduct of Spain towards British subjects any longer.
My lord, this is tantamount to a declaration of war.
Nay, my friend, 'tis a declaration of the rights of all Englishmen. But if war is necessary to enforce these rights, then England is prepared to go to war. Spain must be taught a lesson.
And my Lord Protector imagines that England is powerful enough to teach my master that lesson?
I imagine nothing. I know.
Now we grow hot and angry. It is not meet that two gentlemen should lose their tempers in matter of diplomacy. Would my Lord Protector be good enough to explain how my country has offended England?
In the matter of South America.
Ah, South America. The priceless jewel which our brave navigators added to the crown of Spain. It is a wonderful possession, my lord. A paradise of unsurpassing richness whose mineral wealth...
was buried in its soil for all men to share. God never intended it for Spain alone, but for those strong enough and with sufficient courage to voyage across the ocean and wrest nature's treasure of silver and gold from the earth. Spain, in her selfish greed, does not acknowledge these undeniable rights of every man and claims all the gold and silver of South America for herself. She also treats the ships of all other countries who visit the shores of this distant land as pirates. Many of these men are Englishmen, English subjects, whom your royal master has thrown into the vile Spanish prisons of the Inquisition.
But the English came to steal the treasure of my royal master.
Once and for all, I bid you tell him that English ships must be free to go where they will, and that English merchants must not be thrown into these devilish prisons for the pleasure of Spain.
My Lord Protector, the gold and silver country and the Holy Inquisition are my king's two eyes, neither of which will I attempt to put out.
Oh, you won't, eh? Well, I shall perform the task myself and damage those two eyes prodigiously. Yea, and before another moon rises and sets.
Another fleet was dispatched under Penn and Venables for Hispaniola, later returning after taking Jamaica for England. Shortly after, Admiral Blake subdued the King of Portugal. Then he engaged a Spanish fleet, sinking four great ships and taking two more laden with silver to the value of £2 million. After this victory, he sailed to the port of Santa Cruz, where he found 17 Spanish ships. He dashed into the harbor, captured and burned every ship, and came out triumphantly flying the English flag at his masthead. It was his last victory. He died as his ship was sailing into Plymouth Harbor, where the people had gathered in vast numbers to welcome him. It is now August 1658, and we find Cromwell at the bedside of his favorite daughter, Elizabeth, who had lately lost her youngest son. She is dying, and her father is broken-hearted. His son Richard is also with them.
Grieves me to see the tears falling from your dear eyes. Won't you banish them and smile at me instead?
Betty, my beloved child, you ask the impossible of me when you bid me smile. How can a man smile when his heart is torn with anguish? Oh, my sweet, I cannot bear to see you suffering such bitter pain. You whom I love so dearly, and for whom I would gladly suffer the torture, if by so doing you could be made well again.
I know you would, my dear father, but God wills otherwise. He knows what is best.
But I want to keep you here. You are my flesh and blood. You are part of me. Call it selfishness, call it what you would. But I would move heaven and earth to keep you here. I would sacrifice everything, give up my high office, willingly become a poor wandering beggar if I could but see the roses of health blooming once again in those pale, wasted cheeks. Oh, Betty, my little girl, your unhappy father's heart is breaking.
Father, dear, you must be brave. You must not falter in your courage. England has greater need of you than ever before. Charles Stuart and the Royalists are only waiting for you to weaken. Then they will strike. The glorious edifice you are building, brick by brick, will come tumbling to the ground.
Old Nolly is weakening, Betty. His body is afflicted with gout and the ague. And his heart is sick and sore distressed.
Father, old Nolly is too noble a man to fail in his duty. Promise me that you will go on fighting for England and the rights of the people.
Rights? Rights? Have I no rights?
Yes, my dear one. The right to serve the people. The right to do your duty fearlessly, bravely. Forgetting wife, family, self. Forgetting everything. That is your right. The divine right of kings of England.
The divine right of the kings of England.
And of Oliver Cromwell, Lord Protector of the Commonwealth.